Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
We're so excited to have you today. Of course, you guys know Pastor David, and this is Tanner Delano. Got him up here with us as well. Him and Emily oversight our youth, and his mom and dad are here. We love you guys. She's my Colleen mom. So today, last week, we attempted to talk about our second pillar, but the glory of the Lord came in, and I thought it was going to happen again today. But we're going to talk about the second pillar of Dwellers, five pillars: presence, principle, people, prayer, and power. Those are our core values or our pillars here at Dwell Church, and we wanted to take some time each week to really express the heart of who we are.
Who's and got what my this, jacket?
Are you cold?
Oh,
are you cold?
Oh, it's in the floor. Oh, I've got a cough drop in the pocket. I was just like, where's my jacket? Okay, I'm sorry. Continue, John.
So we spent 3 weeks talking about presence, and we almost last week started to talk about principle, which is the word of God. But the glory of the Lord came in. But what was awesome, what was awesome, without even getting to get into the word, God confirmed it through Sister Newsom. And we wanted to play that for you today to open us up as we talk about our second pillar principle, the Word of God. Michael, do you mind hitting the lights for me too? Anticipation.
It's making me wait. My word. help me. What was she saying? Because some of it, it's
she said, pull out my word and blow the dust off of it. Blow the dust off my word. Blow the dust off my power. Blow the dust off my blood. And we got a message this week. Jocelyn had reposted what we had posted on Facebook. And there was a young lady that Jocelyn knew, but she testified to Joss and said, that convicted me. I went home and actually put on my Bible, and it actually had dust on it. And I blew it off and opened it up, and she said it just was like rhema all over again.
We started back in January, and we're going to do it again this year. We're going to read the Bible through together as a community of believers. I realize how this works, because it's worked this way for me. You get started, then you wake up late, you forget that day, then you forget another day, and then you're behind, and you feel like, I'll never catch up, so you just quit. But let me say it like this. Why this pillar is essential. When you stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask you how good you sang that song. He's not going to care how great the guitar lick sounded. He's not going to ask you about those lyrics. He's not going to ask you He's going to want to know, what did you burn for? What burned in you? This dear woman demonstrated Sunday. I watched a fire on this front row. I wish you could have seen it on the video. I'm listening and hearing it, but I remember just standing here playing and watching her, and she burns with the word. And I don't know what that was. here's the deal. The definition of we're going to talk about principle, and the principle is the Word of God. The principle that we're building on is the Word of God. A principle is a fundamental truth or proposition that serves as a foundation for a system of belief or behavior or for a chain of reasoning. And so we understand that this pillar is not just about reading a book. It's not about reading pages. John, the first chapter, said, and the Word, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. To read the pages of this holy script, you're reading Jesus. Yes. To burn for the book is to burn for the person of Jesus. We say we're lovers of Jesus. And like she said, some of us have let dust gather on Jesus. And I don't want to shame anybody. No. This is not to shame anybody. This is, today is to stir a hunger. Yeah. And to find out, for you to answer the question, what do you burn with? Yeah. There's a rumor in hell. There's a rumor in hell that there are a group of people meeting over in Fairview. They're about to move over across the street into Allen. But if they discover, the power of the Word, they will be dangerous to us. Yeah. That is who we are. Yeah. And that's what we will burn with. So we're gearing up to start a new year and to start a new Bible plan, and we're going to read it together. We're still going. I'm on, what's it, 319, something like that. Yeah. I will tell you, I was busy at a writing workshop with Maverick City. Familiar with Maverick City and Bethel Music had a songwriting camp in Nashville this week, and I went there, and I was busy all day, morning and night, and realized on my way home, I didn't read. So I'm sitting on the plane catching up my 3 days. So we all, we get, life comes at us, but, and it's not a ritual. It's not getting, it's not marking off a list of things I got to do. This is who I burn for.
I love you. It's awesome. The Bible. How many have your Bible today? Got your Bible? So I usually have the digital Bible. Anybody got YouVersion?
Yes.
It's awesome. But I actually went and bought a new Bible. They were on sale. It's awesome. My old Bible has duct tape all over it and all messed up.
I told you should have brought the old one.
I did. It's in the back. I disobeyed. But somebody gave me that in 1997, and I carried that till I got my iPhone and got YouVersion. But ain't nothing like busting it out and being able to smell it, because it takes me back when I would read the word. And anyway, we're gonna dive in. So 66 books, okay? How many can say all of them? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus? Yeah, all of them. Oh, you. I remember as a kid memorizing them for Roll Rangers, and you'd get a badge.
And when I was a kid, we had to memorize chapters, and there were six kids in my family. Bobby's was one of them. We got chapters to memorize, and sometimes they're 5 or 6 verses. Sometimes they're 30, 40 verses.
Yeah.
This is my mom and dad. You memorize this week, you all get $5 a piece. You don't memorize it, you get a whipping.
He's still flinching. That's why he's in the car. I didn't read today. So there's 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. I think there's 35 different authors, all God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired, written over a period of thousands of years. But it wasn't actually like printed until I think it was Johann Gutenberg in 1455 actually revolutionized Christianity when he printed the word. And then from there, it's been translated, the full Bible has been translated in 698 different languages. The New Testament has been translated in 1,548 different languages. And then there's over 5 billion Bibles. Over 5 billion Bibles have been sold to this date. And so it's the bestseller. And the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will all... So it doesn't matter all these Tom Clancy and different books. I don't know. I don't read. So I'm trying to name who these top 10 New York Times bestseller. Is Tom Clancy even an author?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So good. I shouldn't have said anything. But those words will come and go, but this word will always remain. And what's cool about it is there's so many different translations of the word. King James, the yees, the thous, and the these, and the yeezies. You have the NIV, the NLV, the OPP, the CIA. You have all kind of translations of the word. Some of the new ones that Pastor loves to read is the Message translation.
And the Passion Translation.
And the Passion Translation.
There was this song when I was a kid. I grew up singing Southern gospel music, and there was this song that somebody wrote and recorded on this little pirate tape. And one of the songs said, it was a project called Hymns Your Mother Never Sang. And there was a song on there, if John the Baptist used King James Version, then it's good enough for me.
Yeah, there was church splits over versions of the Bible.
Yes.
I've heard of that,
yes.
Where if you read something different than King James, you weren't allowed to go to that church. So it's crazy. But with the word, the written word of the Lord, these 66 books, is the Logos. Somebody say the Logos.
Logos.
And how many have ever, when you've been reading the Logos or the word of God.
Describe, define Logos.
It's the written. The Logos. It's the written word of God from Genesis.
It's letters on a page.
Letters on a page. But then there's those moments it becomes rhema, yeah, where essentially there's long definitions, but it's when the Holy Spirit highlights it, when the scripture becomes power, when the scripture becomes a sword, when the scripture becomes bread, when it becomes honey, it tastes like honey, and it's a light, a lamp, it becomes a rhema word. And it could be something you've read over and over again, and you can get multiple rhema on one word. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing we want to ask. I'd like to ask you, Tanner. Rhema, give us a moment or moments where the word, the logos became rhema to you.
Yeah. Well, I shared it, I think, when I preached a few weeks ago, but I went through a battle, a big battle with depression in the beginning of 2019. And during that time, the Lord showed me different weapons that I would use to fight my battles. And one of them was the Word of God. And it wasn't just this spiritual gymnastics of reading the word, but it was about ingraining that word into every fiber of my personality. And so, for example, he brought me to Psalms 23. And so what I would do is pray read that psalm. So, for example, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I would say, Lord, I thank you that you are the shepherd of my soul. Lord, you're not just God, but you are the Lord. You have lordship over my life. Lord, the enemy has no power. You have lordship. You are my shepherd. And I would take it line by line and just pray read that. Say, Lord, you lead me beside still waters, not rocky waters. You lead my soul there. You restore my soul. Lord, when my soul is just, there's an assault on my soul, you restore it. This is what you do. And eventually, instead of it just being the logos, the written word, it comes alive and is birthed into every fiber of my being. And then after I got done reading it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm free right now. And it's just that easy. It's just going through a scripture that he highlights. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You lead me in the paths of righteousness, not paths of destruction. It's a weapon. This thing's a weapon.
Preach. Pastor David, give us a rhema moment for you from the word.
In Psalm 119, the 10th verse, it's one of the scriptures that we have. Let's just throw out a text so that it feels like an official sermon, all right? This is the NIV. I seek, is that right? I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm used to the King James Version. With my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's a principle. A principle is, if you live by principle, when pressure comes, you've already decided that you're built on this foundation of principle. And so when pressure comes, you won't be tempted to stray. It's like I was 31 when I got married, and I was a virgin because I chose to live on a principle of God's word. And it's not that, I know it's hard for you to believe that I'm not perfect. I know, just looking at me, you think he's got it all together. But it's not that there were ever circumstances that if I would have listened to the voice that tried to lure me. But in those moments, there was a voice inside of me that arrested me. And I was like, my flesh could give in to this, but God, I've already decided I don't want to disappoint you with behavior, with sin. It's not that I was like just super religious about it, but maybe I was super religious about it. But I made a choice to not let pressure lure me into making ungodly decisions. So same can be said for how we treat our tithing. I have been in circumstances where my car payment was due. I paid my tithe, and they repoed my car. I let the car go. Borrowed money from somebody, I don't remember who, and went and picked my car up. But I decided I was going to live by the principles of his word and obey. And it's like, you know, the thing is, the reason I didn't have money to pay my car because I made stupid decisions with my finances. It wasn't just pay your tithe and whatever. It was like I charged a bunch of credit cards, and it took everything I made. I had no idea I had charged up that much money. I'm making the monthly payments, and then all of a sudden, you're in this. I mean, we've all been there, right? You're in this predicament. I never even counted up the totals to see how much I really owed. So I found myself in this position. I'm like, I have stretched myself way too much, but this is my first. I've chosen to put God first. I made dumb decisions, but God is still first. And so that's one of the things. That's like you asked me one of the reasons, and it would come up. That's how it came alive. That's how I was able to stay firm-footed in decisions I made is to walk it out, and not know how you're going to pay the rest of the bills or the light bill or they called it NIPSCO in Indiana. I was like, I could tell you, there were month after month after month, and I was like, God, how am I going to do this? But I just started making right choices. I quit charging.
Yes, Lord.
And started paying off debts. But stayed true. But I have lived a life of walking and making him first, seeking first the kingdom and putting him first, that I've seen what a lifestyle of putting God first, how it transforms your whole ability to walk out and be faithful financially and to walk above and not beneath. Is that a good answer? I don't know.
Yes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. The key is, when you're squeezed, what comes out?
Yeah.
What are you putting into your eye gate, your ear gate? Even it talks about we can eat his word, how his word is like honey to our mouth. What are you putting in your mouth gate?
Yeah.
So it's like, what goes in when pressure comes and you're squeezed? Does the word come out? We're talking about this, like, it's one thing to binge on Netflix. Anybody ever binged on Netflix? Be honest. One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not lie. That's a principle. But do you binge on the word? And a lot of times we get caught up in the quantity versus the quality. I'm one of those people that can read two pages and then not remember what I just read. So that's kind of something I want to talk into, was there's not just power in reading the word, but there's power in meditating the word, memorizing the word, hearing the word, declaring, praying the word. So that's one thing I want to encourage you with. I actually listen to the Bible every day, because I'm not the best reader. And I actually attain more. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Pastor Chad used to always say that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. And I find that I attain more by hearing the word. And so I actually, there's a great app, the YouVersion app, and certain versions, when you pull up the read plan, you can listen. And so while I'm getting ready, it is cranking. I feel like my dad would do that. Like, I've turned into my dad, you know? And just hearing the word in the car, hearing the word and catching rhema and revelation in that.
I just want to add to that. I love Bill Johnson always said, faith comes by hearing, not from having heard.
Yes. Yeah. Hear for yourself.
Drop the mic. Did you catch that? Faith comes by hearing, not from having heard. Yeah. You can't live today on what from last Sunday's experience. Last Sunday was amazing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I need daily bread.
Yeah.
I need daily bread.
Yeah. Yeah, on that, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, that's why manna, it turned to worms after the first day, because they were never intended to store up and live off of that. They need the daily bread. Jesus said, when he was in the wilderness, he said, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We are alive because he speaks. We have life because he speaks.
Go ahead, Pastor
Manna
Tanner.
Only has a 24-hour capacity, and then it's on to the next thing. So
it's having to stay in the hearing place.
Yes. Stay open.
To walk in faith is to stay in the hearing place.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and it's like, yeah, it's important that you come and hear a man of God or a woman of God speak at church on Sunday and corporately. But it's important what you allow yourself to listen to. It's important that you hear yourself quote the word of God.
Yeah.
To hear yourself read out loud. Read out loud. There's this mechanism built within us that when your mouth makes a noise and your ear hears the noise your mouth makes, it activates something inside of you. And so it's important that you hear yourself.
That was the next thing. So we talked about reading the word, hearing the word. Tanner, you talked about praying the word. Pastor David, talk about declaring the word, because I think this goes great with songwriting. I always heard that the Bible is the greatest co-writer you could ever have. And so as you guys are writing, a lot of the songs we sing are just the word in melody and rhythm form.
Well, I mean, on the subject of songwriting, people write all kinds of songs.
Yeah.
People write love songs. People write story songs. But when we think of writing songs for the church, to be a resource of songs for the body of Christ to sing, to put words in their mouth, please, if you're a songwriter, build the song on the foundation of the word. Know the word. I mean, it doesn't have to be an exact quote, but it's an exact principle. It is a truth. Build. You know, it just build your songwriting on the truth of God's word. The importance of declaring the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In Proverbs, it says, angels give heed to the voice of his word. Yeah. I'm convinced most of our angels have been bored our whole life.
Yes.
Because we depend on somebody else to declare the word. And we don't, I'm back around to discovering your voice. Discovering your ability as a parent to walk into your kid's bedroom and declare over them. To break off bad spirits. To declare rebellion must let go and release. To declare, you are the authority in that home and you can determine what happens within the borders of your house, the walls of your house. And so you take authority and you walk the house. You pray over the walls, the doors. You make declaration. Angels are waiting. They're poised, waiting to respond to your declaration. So don't just depend on the pastor. And don't just depend on Christian TV to put the word in your home. Discover it for yourself and decree it. Command it.
Come on.
Yeah, I want to go off of that, of declaring the word of God. I believe this not only goes for like the logos word, but also prophetic words we get too. I believe whenever a word is released from heaven, it is attached with just a fragrance or a color in the spirit realm that we receive. And so when I declare the word, I tell God, I say, Lord, this word came from heaven. This has a fragrance from heaven. I'm putting it back at your throne. And angels recognize the color, the fragrance, when we lift up and declare words, our prophetic words, when we repeat them back or repeat the word back to heaven, they listen and say, oh, that came from here. Earth is re-releasing what was first originated from the throne. We have to act. We have to respond.
So good.
That's what it is when we declare the word. Heaven recognizes this came from here, and earth is responding.
That's so good. So
we need some more scripture.
Well, that's what I was going to read. I'm going to go back.
We got a bunch here, so let's do something.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this one and then one more, because I want to tag off of that Psalms 119, verse 11, where it says, "I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The word "hidden" there, in the Old Testament, they didn't have banks, so their treasures they would hide. So what he's saying is, your word is a treasure. It's a treasure. So to me, when we say we've hidden your word, it's putting it down deep. Yeah. I've always, when I was a worship pastor, I would encourage our team, do you memorize the lyrics of the song to get by or to apply? How many have ever studied for, I took Latin for 3 years. Ask me how to say anything, I don't remember. Because it was all memorization. It was a dead language. It was all memorization. And I'd memorize to get the A. But when the test had come and gone, asked me a week later, I would memorize to get by. But then there's power when you hide his word. It's a treasure, and it's in your heart that you could ask me any day at any moment, can you speak Latin? And I would just blah, 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 blah. But I do memorize the word, not to just get by, not just to preach a message, not just to sing a song, not just to encourage a friend, but I memorize to apply because it comes out of me. If you need scriptures and hope and faith, I hope that we could come to one another, and yes, we'll Google it. Between the Holy Spirit and Google, we'll figure out some scriptures. But if we hide it in our heart, it comes out with more power. So I want to go to the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I want us to talk about the importance of memorizing and meditating on the word. So we talked about hearing, praying, speaking, declaring, but the importance of meditating and memorizing. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips." As Pastor David was saying, the importance of declaring and hearing your voice. "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." How many want to be prosperous? How many want to be successful? Then read your Bible.
Yes. So good.
So let's talk about that. And we're going to talk about the struggles, but what is the importance of actually, let me ask you this. What is your biggest distraction when trying to read and memorize? And what do you feel like your biggest distraction is? Because I feel like we want to be prosperous and successful, but what are the things that keep us as humans, or you personally, from actually reading it every day? Yeah. Pastor's like, "I read it every day, because if I don't, somebody's going to beat me."
Nicole, it drives Nicole crazy that I can sit and read in a room full of people making a bunch of noise. And
You have amazing focus. You can also sleep in any room, and that's the most amazing thing. What's the longest you've gone without reading your Bible or hearing the word? Or
a couple days, maybe.
Honestly, a couple weeks probably. And Emily can probably attest, I'm not a good person when I don't read the word. I'm not a good husband to live with. But it's like,
some people need Snickers. He needs a Bible.
No,
you hangry.
Seriously, I come to the point where it's like, okay, I don't need to read the word just to get a message for youth. I need to read the word to function as a human being on the earth, to be a husband, to just function. I have to have this. It's like, I'm not even, when I'm asked to preach or anything, I'm not even reading this for you guys. I'm reading it for me because I am a terrible husband without this thing in my life.
Montana.
I'm like, I'm dead without it. So. No, seriously, it's like, it is food to me. And the biggest distraction for me when I come to it is honestly familiarity. Like, familiarity is the biggest killer of revelation and anointing. And I believe it's Luke 4. Jesus is in the synagogue, and it's customary to read scripture in the synagogue. And for some reason, this specific day, it was Jesus' turn to read. And keep in mind, there's been a 400-year period of silence. There hasn't been a prophetic word spoken. There hasn't been a move of the Spirit. It's just been silence in the spirit realm. And so Jesus gets up and opens the scroll of Isaiah and begins reading, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." And all of a sudden, people start saying, "Do you feel that right there? Do you feel the wind of the Spirit?" And then one man says, "Oh, yeah, isn't this the carpenter's son? Oh, yeah, that's just Jesus." And what the potential to have the revelation of the Messiah was killed by one person's familiarity. And so familiarity has been my biggest killer. And so to combat that, if I'm not hungry for the word, how many know in the kingdom, or in the natural, hunger comes by not eating, but in the kingdom, hunger comes by eating. So if I'm not hungry for the word, I need to eat the word until I get hungry for the word, and pretty soon I'm going to want to eat the word. So that's been my key of battling familiarity.
So to meditate, and I learned young to meditate on the word. I remember like little example. I think I may have shared this once. We had this bus. We were living in Kentucky this particular year, and my dad wanted me to go get something off the bus, and it's dark outside, and there are no street lights, and the bus is parked up on this hill, and so I've got to walk up in the dark, and when I walk out, I just had this sense of this fear thing that hit me in the face, and it was like I was aware of demonic beings kind of peering at me in the dark, and then I just remembered scripture that I had memorized, and I just started saying, "God has not," I'm 15, 14 years old, "God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power." And now I wouldn't have said it out loud if anybody was around to hear, but, and of power and of a sound mind. And as just as aware of the demonic realm, suddenly I became aware of a host of angels standing with me. And it was like, almost like the night lit up. And I walked to the bus just as confident as you please, because this scripture that I had memorized, in order to memorize, you have to meditate. Yeah. And so it just came up. Another time, I remember when I first started as an associate pastor at the church when Nicole and I got married, I remember having to, these people came in and wanted to talk to me, and there was just this couple, they were just like riddled with fear that their marriage was going to fall apart, or I don't recall the details, but I remember the weapon came alive. The scripture that I quoted walking to the bus suddenly was alive in me, and I just remember quoting them, "But God has not given you a spirit of fear." And as I'm telling them, I watch their countenance change. I see the effect of the sword cutting fear off of them as I declared the word. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. I think you have to have faith. It all starts on faith. Because if we could all just wake up and read the Bible and be like, "I'm in love with the Bible today." You know, it's like, wouldn't that be a great gift if you just could open it and it was just like, bam, every day? But sometimes, most of the time, it takes faith.
Well, yes, it does. But I will tell you, I'm not even thinking about faith. Mm-hmm. When I'm quoting the word to that couple, I'm not even thinking, "Oh, this is faith at work." But I know that faith is rising because I'm hearing His word come out of my mouth. And so,
and I think I'm talking about, like, in that moment, absolutely, it's rhema, it's life, it's the sword. But I'm talking about, like, for me personally, it became faith for me because I grew up as a preacher's kid. I was a guy who memorized the word for badges, for candy, you know.
$5.
Carried my Bible to school every day to let people know I was a Christian, but did not hide it in my heart. And I remember I went to Lee University, a Christian school, was playing in a Christian choir, traveling and playing the word and having encounter after encounter, like in church, but not having my own personal encounter with Jesus through his word. And it took three ladies, African-American ladies that were Jehovah's Witness, who came to my house when I was a sophomore at Lee. I just broke up with my girlfriend at the time. I was heartbroken. I was empty. And they came to my house. I thought they were selling cookies or something. And I let them come in, and they're like, oh, we're Jehovah's Witness. And I'm like, oh, no. And they know their word. Muslims know their word. And I'm sitting there, and I know what I believe, and I stand on.
At Bible college.
At Bible college, a preacher's kid, and had no ammunition. I got squeezed, and I was empty. And I felt, not condemnation, but I felt such a drawing. I asked them, I said, excuse me, ladies, I know what I believe. I just don't know how to tell you yet. But I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And I went up to my bunk bed, because there were several guys leaving there, and I cried. And I said, I want to fall in love with you all over again. Yeah, yeah. And so I said, God, I'm going to read your word. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who... But I had determination and had to have faith. Yeah. Day 2. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the... Day 3, day 4, day 5. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law he meditates both day and night. For he is like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf will not wither in its season. But it took day after day after day, because love is a commitment. Love is a covenant. And some days you're going to get up and not feel it, but don't say you love God and you're not willing to read his word or hear his word or memorize his word.
Yeah. That's good.
I think, John, there's several scriptures here. We already used the one, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
There's James 1:22-25, be doers of the word, not hearers only. We have a list of scriptures that we want to get here, but I think our ultimate heart today is that there become an awakening.
Yes.
That you hear some of the stories and you decide, this is making me hungry.
Yeah. Come on.
I want some of that. I have to have that in my life. And you know the only way to get it is diving into the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Let it, if you fall asleep the first time,
don't
let it stop.
Because it may look like this. So I'm going to read the scripture, and then I'm going
to
let y'all share.
Now, I just have to say, how intimidating this looks. I just want you to realize.
It's real. It's sharp.
I just want you to realize in the spirit realm, when you say, like Jesus, it is written. When you begin to declare the word of the Lord, what looks like in the spirit realm. When you stand there, I tell people, I'm just 170 pounds. But I look like the Incredible Hulk in the spirit realm.
Come on.
Intimidation to the demonic realm. I'm just throwing that out. But I'm just telling you, when you pull that out, that can be like, oh, wow, wow.
Did you see what, if I wish y'all could have seen your reactions and heard when I pulled it out. Y'all were like, oh. I believe hell does that.
Yes, hell
when
does.
You actually... apply the word of God. So I want to read this, and I want you guys to share.
There's a rumor in hell.
That's what I'm saying.
That if you figure out how to use this sword, you're going to be so dangerous.
Hebrews 4:12-14. For the word of God is alive and active. His word has a heartbeat, church. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. It also talks about the armor of God. The word is a sword.
Yeah.
Is a sword.
Yeah.
So Tanner, I know you got something on this.
Yeah, so the scripture he's talking about is Ephesians 6. Paul is making this metaphor. He's using a Roman soldier's armor as a metaphor to how to have spiritual warfare. And he says the word is pretty much the sword of the spirit. But the Roman soldiers, they not only used that sword to fight the enemy, but they used it for after battle. For when a fiery dart penetrated their armor, they would use a sword to actually dig out the flaming arrows of the enemy that it might have penetrated through your shield of faith, that may have penetrated your belt of truth. And after the battle, they would go with their sword and dig out every arrow of the enemy. So when I am reading this after battle, I am not just fighting, but it is going deep inside of my soul. And maybe there was a thought I believe, a lie that I believe, and saying, oh no, let's dig that out of there. Maybe there's something else that I'm dealing with. Oh, let's dig that flaming dart of the enemy out. And pretty soon, I'm free. I'm free. Just the word is not only a sword to fight the powers of darkness, but it is a sword of, you know, we go through life. Our soul, at the end of the day, we have arrows in our soul. And like, we need this to dig that stuff out of our hearts.
It's like that scene from Rambo. You know, it hurts, but it's worth it. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Pastor, you got anything on? Do you want to hold this?
No, you hold it. You hold it. I know we still have so much more here that we were going to read. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. I think we have to figure out how to land this plane.
So when we were talking about hearing, praying, it all comes down to James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately, forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, for not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So moving from hearing, memorizing, meditating into doing the word. And so when Pastor was talking about hunger, it says the word is bread, manna. It talks about how it's honey. And so our heart, and Pastor, if you can share on this, and we want to show that video, is that you would have a hunger. Yeah. And if you don't, ask for a hunger for a hunger, yeah, or a thirst for a thirst. And practically set time in your day like you would for a meeting, yeah, like you would for a lunch appointment, like you, the value you put into setting an appointment to work out every week. And to check Facebook every week. And
David said early, Psalm 63, early in the morning will I seek you. Early will I seek you. Early will I seek you. Will I get the pages out? I will. You know, what you talk about having the actual Bible. When my mom passed this year, 9 months ago I think now, and we were cleaning up the apartment and boxes, and there were books, and some things were keeping, and some things were taken to Goodwill, and some things were thrown in the trash. And so there's one box that we pull out that's been in storage for years. And my sister opens it up and said, "Here, David, you need to take this Bible home." I'm like, I have Bibles. I really don't need to, there's nothing sentimental about this. And she's, no, I just think you should take this. I don't know why she was insisting that I take it. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll take it. I get it home, and I sit down, and I flip it open, and there are things. There's a certificate in this Bible when I got best camper when I was 12 years old in my mom's Bible. Flipped through other pages, and our wedding announcement was in this Bible. It's so at least 25 years, some of these things, and other little pictures, and like this Bible was destined to fall into my hands because there were maybe half a dozen or more mementos from my life that my mom kept. It was important that our wedding announcement be held in a Bible, so that in her mind it was built on the word. It was covered by the word. Yeah. And so, you hear stories. I was listening to John's story about going up and crying and asking God to change his hunger, give him a desire. And I'm intrigued by the story. I trust that the way I was moved by his story and by Tanner's stories, that this is like, for you, flipping a channel and seeing cookies kind of swelling up in an oven on a commercial. Or,
I can smell that right now.
Oh, right. That I trust that these stories are like that for you. We trust that what we're saying to you is making Jesus delicious. That you were like, it's like, usually that happens when I'm fasting. I'll see a commercial. I'm like, oh, God, I got to go look in the cupboard for something to satisfy, or run to the store. I mean, it's the most inconvenient, but you get so hungry, it doesn't matter that you're already in your PJs. We're going to the store to get ice cream, right? And so that's what our desire is, that what you're hearing us say, how we live our life, how we walk our life, that some way it'll be your commercial in your mind, that you're like, I'm salivating. I'm going home. I'm going to dust off the Bible, and I'm going to dive in. I'm going to search. If you start somewhere, there are 31 Proverbs. Why don't you pick a proverb for each day of the month? When there are only 30 days in a month, well, you get an extra. You get an extra double dose on one of those days. But read, if it's the first of the month, read the first proverb. And read it, and read it, and read it. And when you finish there, get into the Psalms and read the Psalms until you see yourself. And then when something comes alive to you, then just meditate on it. Pray it. Yeah. Live it. Walk it out. Digest it.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.